thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join Pastor Terry Bate as he shares another message from God's Word.
This series that we've been in has been really a challenging series for me. It's been good. Challenging in the sense that getting back to the basics is an important thing, you know? And so I take every Sunday very, very seriously. Someone told me today I better bring my A game. I try every day. But when considering the imagery we've played out here with the idea of laying the foundation, building this brick wall of the essential elements of our faith, this is one area where I certainly do not want to get wrong. I feel it's so important for us to understand in this day and age that we live in, the essence of what it means to walk with Christ. We live in a day where everything feels like it's being turned upside down on us, don't we? I was on Facebook for far too long this morning, just long enough to see all the arguing and bickering going on in our political landscape. It gives me a sick feeling in my stomach to recognize where we are as a nation. And so it's in that kind of a culture, in this postmodern, post-Christian culture, that I feel like it's so essential to know what we believe and why we believe it. We're going to finish this series up next Sunday. Pastor Steve will be preaching a powerful message on eternity and judgment and what all of this really culminates in. And then the next Sunday we're going to be talking about our only hope. And we're going to be trying to speak into what it means to live in this culture in a practical sense, trusting in God as the only hope we have. Not a president, not a senator, not a nothing, just Jesus. Again, kind of bouncing off of this idea of these foundations toward where we are in our world today. In this series, we have spent time looking at who God is through the Trinity, this churchy word that it helps us understand that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in that relationship that they share with each other, we were born and created out of that relationship. That we weren't created for relationship primarily, like God needed a friend, so He created us. He created us out of the overwhelming sense of abundance that He was already experiencing in relationship, and we're invited into that relationship, which is a powerful visual. We looked at the idea of Scripture and how Scripture is not our self-help guide. It is not about us. It is about Him. It is about His story. It's about His character. And we look at it as our focus alone in understanding who God is. And then through Scripture, we understand our third point was sin and how God hates sin. Sin gets in the way of everything God had dreamed for you and I. And so we are people that too often give in to sin. And we spend an entire Sunday looking at how God detests that part. And then last Sunday, we looked at God's solution to sin. We looked at this idea of covenant, of how God creates within us a solution through His grace and His love to defeat sin once and for all. And so today, we're going to launch from that conversation of understanding that covenant and God's way of dealing with sin. And we're going to look into how He wants to make that a part of our daily, every moment by moment life. I want to invite you to look in your bulletin for an insert today and get that out with a pen from the friendship book, or borrow one from somebody if you need to. Be ready to listen for God's voice today. Turn on your smartphone and open up that YouVersion app and look for the live event for the church. We've got a couple of big sections of Scripture we're going to read today, and those are already there for you to read on the app. And as well, we always encourage you to post your questions or your thoughts or your aha moments using social media and this hashtag FCCIBelieve as a part of this particular series. Before we jump fully into the message of this day, I want to step just back last Sunday and rewind on covenant for those of you who were not with us. Covenant is this word, it's this idea of an agreement. It's an ancient form of a contract between two or more parties. And last week we looked at two different kinds of covenants. One was a conditional covenant. This is the idea where two people come and they both bring things together and they have to agree to these terms, and they are responsible to make sure that they take care of their part of the agreement. And when one person breaks their part of the covenant, the other person is released from withholding their part of it. So it's a conditional. It's conditional upon both parties doing their job. There's an unconditional covenant mentality as well. This is where one person brings all of the promises, brings all of the responsibility, and the other person just receives the benefit of that covenant, and there is no responsibility for that person at all. It's an agreement that is kind of foreign from our line of thinking in today, because we are used to contracts being two-sided. A bank will lend you money to buy a house as long as you pay them back for it. And if you break your part of the contract, well, they take their house back, right? That's a conditional covenant. We get that language. What we struggle with is the unconditional covenant, where a bank would loan you money and you don't need to pay them back. Well, we'd all love that kind of a mortgage, wouldn't we? But that's an unconditional covenant. And when we looked at Genesis chapter 15, the agreement between God and at that time Abram, we recognized that every part of that covenant was unconditional. God made the promises of a people. God made the promises of a land, and God made the promises of protecting them and making them holy. He required nothing from Abram to seal that deal, and it was sealed through a smoking cauldron and a floating torch flying through this amazing set of sacrifices that were laid. It was a part of the covenant forming process. Genesis chapter 15, if you weren't with us last week, you can read that on your own time this week. So when we're looking at the idea of covenant, covenant began in the eyes of God's people in Genesis 15, and we kind of revisit it again in Scripture as we look at Moses later receiving the law from God. Not only the Ten Commandments, but the 613 rules and laws that went along with that. And so God's solution for sin in our lives was to deal with our desire and our interest in always wanting to break that law. We just have built within us this desire to do things our way. And so God has a solution for our sin, but we continue to struggle with it. And the law that Moses brought from God and everything that we understand through covenant was God trying to provide a solution for us. Not us trying to do something to obtain God's favor, but God looking down on us and providing a solution for us. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to look at a section of Scripture in 2 Corinthians where Paul speaks toward an interesting comparison between that old way of doing things and a new way of looking at things. All right? It's now in this part of Scripture, it could be called the Old Covenant. That's the one that started with Abram, who would later be called Abraham, and then the law given through Moses, and then the New Covenant that is brought through the sacrifice of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit now living within men's hearts and women's hearts and children's hearts. It's in this letter to the Corinthian church, his second letter, that he is beginning to help people understand that the law that Moses brought was written on stone. It was written on a stone tablet. But God's law of love and mercy that he has written through Jesus is now written on our hearts. So there's a difference between a law written on a stone tablet and a law that is being conveyed into the heart of mankind. Some further backstory before I leap right into this message. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai, long time ago, holding the Ten Commandments, the stone tablets in his hands, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, it's recorded in Exodus chapter 34, his face was actually radiant. The Scripture says that his face was glowing. Moses had no idea. You ever had a moment where you're out in the sun too much and you feel your face is radiant? Well, you know that feeling, right? Your skin is on fire. Well, this is a different kind of radiance, because the Scripture says that Moses had no idea that his face was radiant. But as he came down holding the Ten Commandments, the people were afraid to approach him because his face was actually glowing. It was radiant because he had been in the presence of God. And so what Moses did is he created a veil that he would cover his face with so that the glow would not be as intimidating. And when he would be in public, he would be wearing this veil. And when he would go into what was known as the tent of meeting, and he would go and visit with God down on the ground level, he would take the veil off and he would meet with God. And then he would come out of the tent of meeting and he would speak to the people what God had shared with him. And then he would put the veil back over his face, and then he would go about his day. It's kind of a strange picture, but it's a great picture for what Paul is about ready to point back to, because we're about to see what this veil really was all about and what the glory or the glow was really all about in Moses' face. So get this, the old covenant, the old law, was involved with law, rules. It involved written on stone, and it was radiant. Now we're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. The old way, Paul writes, with laws etched in stone, led to death, though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face. For his face shone with the glory of God, even though the brightness is already fading away. Verse 8 says, shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? I want to stop here for just a moment. The word here used for glory, doxes, is it refers to the wonderful, all-inspiring, indescribable presence of God Himself. That's what glory means. I think in our minds we think of glory as being brightness, like some kind of just light shining. We certainly see that in Moses' face, right? But what the word truly means is that the full, complete presence of God being revealed to Moses was evident, and if it was evident to Moses, shouldn't it be even more so evident to those of us who are living with the Holy Spirit inside of us? Right? This is the connection and the contrast he's going to be pulling back and forth. Verse 9, if the old way which brings condemnation was glorious, it made Moses' face to shine, how much more glorious is the new way which makes us right with God? In fact, that first glory was not glorious at all compared to the overwhelming glory of the new way. So if the old way which had been replaced was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way which remains forever? If Moses glowed, if Moses glowed, how much greater impact should happen to us? Because we believe that the living God dwells within mankind with the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul continues to compare this old way, the law which helped us identify sin and understand God's character, yes, but ultimately led to condemnation and death. He compares that way to the new way, this repentance of sin through Jesus Christ and the arrival of God's Spirit, which is not written on a stone tablet. The law of God's Spirit is written on our hearts. It's a game changer. It is one of those things that changes how we view everything and everyone around us. In the old covenant, there was an understanding that it was available for some. In the new covenant, it is available for all. The old covenant was based on human response to the law, on our effort to keep up with that law. But the new covenant is based only on God's grace. The old covenant had to be repeated regularly. The new covenant is completed by Christ's death. The old covenant was based on fear and demands, but the new covenant is based on love and forgiveness. The old covenant was based on external rules and expectations and standards, but the new covenant is based on internal standards, on this new heart that God is giving us. Ultimately, the old covenant failed because the people could not keep it. But the new covenant is found to be faithful because of what Christ has done for us. So when we look at how broken and failed that the old covenant is, how much greater should we look at what God is doing within us today? Verse 12, as Paul continues to make his argument, since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. Well, I wish the church would hear that verse. I wish that people who followed Christ would listen to this verse. I'm going to read it again. Since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. But the people's minds were hardened, and to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds so that they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. Yes, even today, when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with that veil, and they do not understand. Get this, just for a moment. That veil, that physical veil, that fabric that Moses would put over his face thousands of years before now, is now being seen and understood as a spiritual veil that remains over the people of Israel, which is kind of in some way blocking their ability to hear and understand the gift of grace that is being offered them through the life and death of Jesus Christ. Many Jews today are having that veil removed. Praise God. Many are coming to a full understanding around the world of seeing Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of their law, all that they have been hoped for and all that they have been waiting for. God is doing a new thing among His people, and it's a powerful thing to see. Verse 16, "But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image." I love this so much that I'm going to read it again. Are you okay with that? You can read it with me. You can read it out loud if you want. I don't care. Think about the impact of these words. "But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is a Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image." Steve would say, pray and dismiss. This is it. This is what I want us to see and hear and understand today. Paul makes a very clear distinction that as he explains the impact of a life that turns to Christ, in that moment when your faith embraces the understanding of all that Christ has done for you, when anyone truly acknowledges that Jesus is God's Son and experiences true forgiveness of their sins through the sacrifice of Christ and not through their own human effort, when this happens, and only when this happens, change takes place. The veil is removed, and there is freedom, and there is confidence, and there is boldness, because God's glory is now within them. They can see it, we can see it, we can understand it more clearly when we enter into this level of faith with the Lord. God's glory can be seen, and God's glory will be reflected. I want us to kind of think of it in these terms. In your insert today, there's a couple of areas you could fill in some blanks. I want to summarize our main takeaway with these words. The law brings condemnation and death, but Jesus Christ brings freedom in life. Jesus Christ brings freedom and life. See, the law could never be followed perfectly. 613 laws. Most of you broke the law coming to church today, the United States law. You probably went at least 26 miles an hour through downtown Flushing, I'm guessing. If nothing else, down the hill over there, you probably just took your foot off the gas and just let her coast and looked down, went, 32, I'm probably okay. We are law breakers, because wherever there is law, there are law breakers, right? And we are among them. So the law of Moses could never be followed perfectly. It was always a law that was going to bring condemnation and death. But the power of Jesus Christ brings freedom in our lives, and it brings true life. Jesus didn't come to just abolish that law. He came to fulfill it in a new way of seeing and living. And that's what we're here to see. Here's what I'm afraid of, though. What I'm afraid of is that I feel like we want to embrace the grace and the love of Jesus. Like, we're good with Jesus, you know, coming out of the tomb. We're good with the Jesus that extends forgiveness. We love that Jesus that died for us. We do. I mean, who would not love Jesus, right? Most people in the world are probably okay with Jesus, even if they're not real true Jesus followers, because when they understand who He is, I mean, He did everything for us. So we're good with Jesus. The problem is we want to embrace Jesus under the old covenant way of thinking. See if this connects, or see if this will make sense with you. We like Jesus, but we resist the transformation that comes when we embrace faith in Jesus. See, the old way of doing things by the law never changed the heart. The old way didn't influence thinking. The old way never impacted the will of a man or a woman or their actions to be a better follower. It never did that. But everything about the new way of following Christ changes all of those things. So we have kind of become a culture that is comfortable with Jesus and wearing our cross necklaces and all of that goes with that. We love Jesus, but we're not really interested in the transformation that Jesus wants to give us. We're not interested in the confidence and the boldness. We're not interested in all that He wants to shape us. We just kind of want to come and worship and you know, be good with it here and get, kind of give minimally, like so that someone can see us put something in the box or what. We like to just kind of keep it casual and then expect great blessings in return. That's not the way I read Scripture, friends. And it's not always how I've lived my life. I've been the one who has kind of been comfortable with Jesus, but resistant upon the work that He wants to do in my life and how He wants to shape me and mold me. I'm not coming here as judge and jury at all. I'm coming here under conviction of saying, if I want God to work in every day and in every ways in my life, if I want God to do something radical in me, then I need to pay attention to what He's talking about between the old covenant and the new, because I've really embraced Jesus in the old covenant mentality. I want Him to change my way of thinking. I want to have those attitudes. I don't want Him to shape my calendar. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. I certainly don't want Him to get in my checkbook because I got plans. Well, I'm good with Him, man. He's forgave my sins. He's awesome. But has He changed us? Is He changing us? In our mission statement, we didn't say transformed, that we desire to experience the transforming love of God, because there is an always ongoing process of God transforming us. I got off script there. My apologies. Paul says that when someone walks in this new path, this new way of thinking, this new way of embracing Christ, that boldness and freedom is always there waiting for us. That there is a new heart being conformed and transformed within us. That is the sign that true faith in Christ has really taken hold of us. I hear people say, well, you know, I don't want to offend anyone by evangelizing them or sharing Jesus with them. I just want them to see Jesus in me. But I think if we were to be perfectly honest sometimes, if that's all we're holding out for is that they would see Jesus in us, I don't know that there's a whole lot of a difference between the church and the world. I don't know that our lives are that much different from anyone else in how we talk and how we act and how we behave. That worries me. I want to see God's radiance flood our church. I want to see God's radiance on your face in the darkest of moments. I want to see God's radiance in your face on the greatest of moments. I want to see God do something in us that shapes how we process a presidential election, to not getting the job promotion, to not making the sale, to losing a loved one. That's when God's radiance has an opportunity to be seen through us in those desperate moments. And the reason why I know that is the way that Paul continues in his letter. It goes into chapter 4, but it's the same line of thinking, because in chapter 4 he starts with this word, therefore, which means he's pointing back to chapter 3. So in verse 1 of chapter 4 he says, therefore, since God in His mercy has given us this new way, we never give up. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the Word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. Going down to verse 6. For God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not ourselves. Paul at this moment uses the imagery of a fragile clay pot to illustrate the fragile nature of our human bodies. But within the fragile nature of these human bodies, we have the opportunity to contain the indescribable treasure of God's glory and God's light. Clay pots are sometimes, you know, weak. Sometimes they chip or they leak. Oftentimes they'll be made with imperfections and flaws. But none of that takes away from their design to be functional in holding and containing something. And for us, we are designed to hold and contain the power of God, the glory of God within us. And it's ironically through the cracks and through the chips and through the imperfections that God's glory can radiate out of our clay pots. And God is seen through those moments, our imperfections and our darkest times. Your testimony, your story, it is strongest and radiates the greatest when you are pressured. Your family often sees you under pressure, and I have often admitted to you that my family sees me sometimes at my worst because I feel like I can just let that out at home, right? What kind of change would it make in our parenting that if our kids saw us at our most pressured moments, that God's glory would radiate through those moments? Oh, how I have failed my kids and my wife in that capacity. What would it look like to your office or to your family or to your neighborhood if when you were pressured and there was a crack or some kind of an imperfection, that God's glory would radiate through that? How would people see the glory of God through you in those moments? Verse 8, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be seen in our bodies. Jumping down to verse 16. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see, they will last forever. Aren't you a little bit excited today? That the things we see now, the cancer, the illness, the death, the presidential elections, they won't be around forever. And so we fix our eyes not on those things that will be gone, but we fix our eyes on what will last forever. Because you see, the Lord loves to deliver, and the Lord loves to rescue and save us in the moments that we are pressed on every side, and confused and perplexed and depressed and tormented and knocked down by life. When our foot is broken and we thought God was telling us to run a marathon. We know God was telling us to run a marathon. He had a plan that was better than what we had thought all along. The law brings condemnation and death. It limits us. It tells us that we're done. But Jesus Christ today, church, Jesus Christ alone brings freedom and life. As the band comes and as we close our time together, I want us to do just a little self-inventory. Would you join me in that process? Don't be distracted today by the band coming. They're going to be listening too, and they're going to be processing these words. There are many here today, I believe, that have never walked with God, have never taken that step of saying yes to Jesus Christ and sought forgiveness of sins. You've never understood your sin or even the need to deal with it, and you are in a good place here today. Today, God has provided for you a way to live that is right and good, and He is calling you today, I believe, to experience Him in a fresh and new way. It is my desire that for those of you who would put yourself in that category, you would respond with a heartfelt prayer. A heartfelt prayer that says yes to the Lord. Yes, I want this. Yes, I'm sorry for living life my way. And yes, I want to live my life according to your plans. There are many of us here today as well who have walked with God, but quite possibly we have not walked according to the right view. Maybe you've embraced the grace and the mercy of Christ, but you've done so in the old way of thinking, and you've held off the call that God has placed on your life to have your life transformed, to have a new heart placed inside of you, that you no longer are trying to follow God through some stone tablet and obeying rules, but that you want your heart to be transformed and conformed to the will and the love and the mercy of God, and that you begin to look at your family and you begin to look at those around you through the eyes of Christ. This is the difference between the old way, which is kind of a religious way of looking at God, versus the new way, which is a way based on relationship with God. And so we are a church, we are a people that are not focused upon religion. We want to be a church and a people that are focused on relationship. Maybe today God is asking you, will you go deeper with me? Will you allow me to give you the heart that I have wanted to offer you all along? And some here today, there's a third group. Some here today are walking testimonies for those of us trying to figure this out and to understand this. God is using you to be shining examples, radiant examples of what it means to be pressed and perplexed and confused, and yet we see God's glory in you. And may I challenge you this day, continue to fight the fight. Continue to walk the walk before us. We need more people to stand up in the Christian community, especially here at Flushing Community Church, and live a life where God's radiance is shining through us, through the greatest moments of disappointment, through the moments where we cannot begin to comprehend or understand how God is going to get any glory out of it. He's going to get it through the way you respond. He's going to get it through the way that His light is shining through your life in the cracks and the chips of your fragile clay pot. So continue to allow God's glory to shine through you. I want us to stand together at this time. We're going to sing a song in reflection. And I want to share with you the most dangerous words in this song that we are about to sing are these words. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. We had talked earlier about the songs that we sing being prayers and our way of communicating with God. If you are willing this day to pray the prayer of this song and say, Lord, have your way, get ready. Because I believe God is going to renew and reform and transform your heart to be more and more like His through the power of His Holy Spirit. Some of you are here today and you say, Terry, I don't think it's possible. I'm so lost in the ways of my life and I'm so lost in the addictions of my life, I don't see it possible. I cannot stand here today unless I didn't believe this with all of my being. There is nothing impossible with God. He can clear any boundary that's in your way. He can clear any hindrance that's in your way of experiencing life to the fullest. And He wants to do it, but He's not going to do it externally, and He's not going to do it based on how good of a person you are. He's going to do it by you yielding yourself to Him and allowing a new heart to be placed inside of your chest to be able to see everything through His eyes. So I challenge you this day as we sing to respond to the Lord the way that you feel Him calling you to respond. Maybe it's coming to a place of prayer this morning. We would invite you to do that. Maybe it's by hands lifted and singing and proclaiming the song of God's consuming fire coming into your life. I don't know. But let's be people who respond faithfully to what God is doing among us. God, today, thank you for your word. Thank you for inspiring Paul to write it, to challenge us not to receive your Son Jesus through an old covenant way of thinking, without transformation, but that we would receive Him and the Holy Spirit in a way that gives us a brand new heart. Help us to follow you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.